Cast of the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata. Welcome
back.
Hi,
Mark. Yeah. Nice to be here.
The October issue features a look at Western New York writers. Now, this area has a rich writing tradition, starting with Mark Twain in 1869, all the way through the present with writers such as Joyce Carol Oates and Lauren Balfour.
Yes, yes. And we did do a little bit of that history, and please, everyone should be aware that we did not do anything close to a comprehensive look. It merely scratches the surface, and I'm actually just a little bit saddened that, you know, we're just mentioning people like John Barth in passing. You know, that's just not right. There are a few writers whom we did not mention. Certainly the UB crowd alone, it would just be a long list. There's our distinguished Pulitzer-winning poet that we have now, Carl Dennis. There is Celia White. There are so many. There's a lot of UB faculty who are wonderful poets and fiction writers and nonfiction writers, and we didn't get even close to doing them justice.
But the 60s, wow,
yes.
What a time at
yes.
UB.
Yes, that is really the most exciting time. That's worthy of a book of its own. I believe that Bruce Jackson, whom we do talk about, has written some articles about that time, but I don't think there's a book, and I think there could be. I wish that I had been at UB in the 60s. You know, during those times, it was not only exciting and wild and all that, but it was also one of the top four English departments in the country, I believe, and rightly so. And there are other you know, you had Roland Barthes rolling in. You had, you know, you had Charles Olson and Robert Creeley. And as I said before, John Barthes, not to be confused with Roland, whose name I'm sure I mispronounced. And I remember I was just a kid, but my parents in the 60s were considered them. They were rather well-read, and they named our dog after one of John Barthes' books, Giles Goat Boy. I guess because it was a stray and it smelled. I'm not quite sure what.
Well, I did Lauren Balfour's very first interview.
Really?
With the City of Light. She told me after it was all finished that it was her first interview. And she went on to do so many more after that because the popularity of the book.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book. And we have done interviews with her at previously in Spree, too. In fact, the very first year I came to Spree in 1999, I think the current Spree that was out at that time had an interview with Lauren Balfour in it. You know, and of course, she's a very distinguished alum of BAFSEM.
Yeah. Now, for every Lauren Balfour, there are probably dozens of others who never get the chance to be published. But that's starting to change with the internet because of the vastness of that venue.
Well, not only that, it's also, we don't really get into this, it's also much more respectable to self-publish now. That used to be, you just called that vanity press and no one, you did not take someone seriously who published their own book. That has completely changed. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly respectable. People do it all the time. So that's interesting. And yes, then you have the internet where you have people who are blogging, who are perhaps publishing their fiction serially and their poetry on the internet. And there are people who are doing more experimental forms on the internet where what's on there is something that only the internet could do, where you're seeing video, hearing sound, things are moving, you make things happen by clicking on the keys. Now that I think is a unique to the internet type of writing.
What about the quality of the writing? Is it comparable to what we had seen in the traditional press, books, that type of thing?
Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of writing you're talking about. When we are talking about journalism, and we do talk about journalism in the magazine in this issue, blogging is not the same as investigative reporting, and it can never replace it ever. I worry about that, and I'm sure that a lot of people in journalism worry about the future of of true reporting that takes the resources that someone blogging from home certainly wouldn't have and wouldn't be expected to have and doesn't want to have. It's they're involved in a totally different form of reporting. So it's different. When you talk about quality, of course, it's a judgment call. And like I say, it really depends on exactly what kind of writing you're talking about. But it cannot, I mean, if you're, like, you have a novel and you're reading it in a book or you're reading on the internet or you're reading it on your Kindle, which I'm actually have finally adopted, it's the same, right?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about journalism on the internet replacing the traditional journalism that we know, then we start getting into some issues we could, you know, talk about in terms of quality.
The October issue features profiles with more than a dozen local writers. There are some who have made their reputations in print, but you also feature people who some might not characterize as writers.
Yes, that's true. We do not have a tweeter, but we do have a Facebook poster and we have a blogger. And we also have a speech writer, you know, and I feel that's a very interesting and important type of writing. And there are some wonderful speech writers. And as I'm sure you know, when you listen to a stirring speech by, you know, even someone like Kennedy or something, well, you know, he didn't write that whole speech.
Yeah.
He had a team of speech writers. You know, Mario Cuomo's great speeches. I have a friend, my friend who I blog with, who wrote some of his speeches. So I know speech writers, and I respect their art very much. And they get paid a lot, and, you know, they deserve it.
Now, I won't embarrass one of the writers you profile. I do believe this person is highly intelligent and delivers some spot-on analysis, but the writer tends to use four-letter words. Now, I'm no prude. I mean, such language is entirely acceptable in some forms of writing, but I don't think it's necessary here. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Mark, I appreciate your reticence and your niceness, but really, he wouldn't care a bit. It's Alan Badenko.
Really?
He wouldn't care a bit. That is his way. And I will tell you that on Twitter and in blogs and a lot of not just guys, but women, too, use the F word and all kinds of other words that you might never have thought to see. In certain worlds, people that Alan tweets with seem to use it equally as frequently.
And
the people who comment on his blogs seem happy with it as well. So he seems to be in a milieu where it's used frequently, and it's something that he is very comfortable with doing, and it's how he expresses himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there have been a lot of fine novelists, as you know, fine writers who have sworn all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on the milieu. I'm a garden blogger, and I will tell you that I don't dare use words like that. It's not people don't like it. It's the people who comment, the people who read. In our little world of garden blogging, you never see it. So I think it really kind of depends on who your audience is and who you are as a person. And in terms of Alan, it's both his audience and his own personality are suited to that kind of expression.
And again, I love his analysis because
yes.
he zeroes in on it. And so I agree with him almost 100%
of the time.
I mentioned
his name because I think everyone should read him.
Yeah, yeah. Can posting something on Twitter be considered writing?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think there was maybe a couple years back, and I'm not remembering it too well, but people did versions of Shakespeare's plays as tweets, as series of tweets. And I think that's a really hard thing to do. You only have 140 characters. You have to say something that people are going to remember and want to retweet to others. So it has to be very succinct, very pithy, very well expressed. I feel it's definitely in art form.
Yeah, I learned how to write concisely because radio is much different
yes.
from print, but even I find it hard to sometimes get what I want to say in that 140 characters.
I think it's a challenge, but I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And I think if you can say it in fewer words, you always should say it in fewer words. And that goes for Buffalo Spree and for the new, you know, all different kinds of writing. I don't believe in length for length's sake. I think that you should conserve your words and use them well.
How did you get interested in writing?
Well, I think I always was. I suppose as in high school, I was editor of our school page. We had a school page in the newspaper, and my father encouraged it because he was, as a teacher, English teacher, he was moderator of his junior high school page in Lockport. And I went to the Catholic high school, and it was called, I think, the Drawbridge, and it ran in the Union Sun and Journal. So I started with that as editor of that. And when I was at UB, I was arts editor of the Spectrum, and we had a separate paper called The Prodigal Son that I wrote for. I'm sure you remember it, Mark.
Yeah, I do.
And then I just went on and wrote for I wrote about the arts a lot, and then I was a stringer for the news for a long time and wrote for art magazines and just all through my entire career, whatever else I was doing for other money, I was always writing. So that's why.
So I'll conclude with the question that was asked of the various writers in their Buffalo Spree profiles. Pen or pencil?
Well, I like pen. And I know a lot of people said, oh, the keyboard. And it's true that I use the keyboard, but all journalists, you're not carrying a keyboard around with you. I've never heard anyone say that any of the pads and, you know, an iPhone, you can't really take notes with those. So I like to use a little notebook. The only problem I have, though, is my writing is really, really bad.
So
ask anyone.
Mine.
Yes.
But put me in the pen category as well.
Well, that's another thing we have in common.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.